Thank you. be great, the Son of God Most High, and he shall reign, his kingdom shall have no
Good morning, everyone. This is the third week of Advent. Can you believe that? Man, it is clicking by, isn't it? A couple of years saying, it is going too fast. And it probably is. I want to welcome you this morning. Glad to have each and every one of you here. A couple of real quick things I want to say. Next week will be the fourth Sunday of Advent. It will be the 22nd, and it will also be our March to the Manger. And we will be receiving our March to the Manger offering next week. There are three local mission projects we're going to be supporting this year. Two that we have been over the last couple of years is the Got You Covered Diaper Ministry, which this year again is online to give over 30,000 diapers away to the people of the surrounding area in southern Illinois. So we celebrate that ministry with our March to the Manger, as well as our Debbie's Closet ministry to the children of the school district and working with that, as well as the other ministry that we're adding this year is the ministry of Gundrop Kids, which is a ministry to local school children who live with families that are food insecure, and they receive packages of food to take with them over the weekend in order to have that. So we're going to be looking at those. We're going to ask you to designate your offerings to one of those. If your offering is not designated, it'll be divided among those, and that'll be next week that we're receiving that offering. So just want to give you that heads up this week. Also, hey, I want to welcome our online people. And for online people, I just want you to know this morning that we are aware that we're struggling with our online stuff. And our streaming service, we're struggling with that. It seems like it's dropping out as we go through the worship service on Sunday morning. Just want to say we're working on that in a huge way. We've got all kinds of people looking at that, trying to figure that out for us. So just apologize about that. If you ever drop out of the service, please know that it is recorded and it's posted online right after the worship service, so you can always find the entire worship service there as well. So welcome all of you this morning to our worship service. We are going to begin this morning by singing our gathering chorus through this season of Advent, the same one each week, 204, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. I invite you to stand as you are able this morning to join in our gathering chorus.
good morning, everyone. My name's Leah, and welcome to worship from me. It's a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord. For our announcements today, if you look in your bulletin under Save the Date, you can take a look. We do have chair stretch this Tuesday, and then we're going to take a few Tuesdays off for the holidays, and we'll start back in the new year. But if you want to join us this Tuesday, please do. The nativity sets that are out in the hallway, that today is the last day to enjoy those nativity sets, and we thank Elizabeth Collins for sharing her over 80 sets with us, and they will be packed up today. So thank you so much, Elizabeth. Every time I walk by, I see a different nativity set. Candlelight Christmas Eve service is at 7 o'clock this year, and we have a Disciple Bible study beginning January 5th. You may sign up on the clipboards for that. And those are our announcements for today. It is time for the prelude and the lighting of our worship candles. Maybe you have a candle at your house and would like to light it at this time to celebrate the light of Christ there with you. Video entitled The Unlikely King.
400 years had passed since the prophets had fallen silent. Their voices of wisdom and challenge, but distant echoes in the annals of time. As if the universe itself was holding its breath, waiting. The world lay lost in darkness, held in the grip of the Roman Empire's power. Yet, in this prolonged silence, against this canvas of despair and anticipation, destiny was quietly weaving a tale. Something small, something seemingly insignificant is happening in a little town called Bethlehem. Not a capital, not a hub of commerce or power, but a tiny whisper of a town. Here, amidst the overlooked and ordinary, a child is born. But this is not just any child. This is the universe exhaling, releasing that held breath in the form of boundless hope and promise. This child is the antithesis to empire, to domination and oppression. He's a new kind of story, a story of love, of a kingdom built not on might, but on selflessness. His path wasn't one of palaces or grand courts, but of dusty roads, stormy seas, and intimate dinners with the most unexpected of guests. He taught on hillsides and in quiet corners. He sought out the lost, healed the sick, and elevated the outcast. In a world dominated by power, he washed the feet of his disciples. The servant king, Lamb of the living God, Father, Son, Savior to all the world, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. And the thing is, in the midst of this immense, mighty Roman narrative, it's this humble story that endures, that changes everything. It's a cosmic reminder that love, hope, and grace, they have a way of lighting up the darkest corners. And they start small, always. So in our world, with its own empires and powers, darkness and silences, may we remember Bethlehem and that humble stable. May we remember that God's work often starts in the quiet, in the unexpected and overlooked. And maybe, just maybe, that's where we should be looking.
time for the lighting of our Advent wreath. This candle as a symbol of Christ our hope. May the light sent from God shine in the darkness to show us the way of salvation. O come, Emmanuel. We light the second candle as a symbol of Christ the way. May the word sent from God through the prophets lead us to the way of salvation. O come, Emmanuel. The third candle is a symbol of Christ our joy. May the joyful promise of your presence, O God, make us rejoice in our hope of salvation. O come, Emmanuel. Let's join in singing our opening hymn, the First Noel. Please stand as you are able in heart or posture. We will sing the first two verses.
Singing the chorus together this morning as we seek God's plan for our lives and our church, I sing praises to your name.
Amen.
through this Advent season this year. A lot of times our standing committees don't meet in December. The church council and trustees and the others don't meet. But this December we're meeting because over the next few hours, really Monday evening, our church is going to make a number of really important decisions. We're going to make some decisions about our future in terms of future projects we may be looking at in terms of the trustees and the work of the trustees. We have some more security work with the grant that we're working on. And so they're meeting Monday night to make some decisions about that. Finance committee is going to meet after that, and they've got some important decisions to make as well. Many of you know that we really pretty drastically cut the office hours over this last year to accommodate some other things we wanted to do, and we're really wanting to increase that back up there. We're wanting to get the office open at least 4, if not 5 days a week, and finance committee has some decisions to make around looking at that, as well as the church council a little later on. And then we're looking at a new structure as to how we do ministry together and the opportunities to do that and look at that. And that's a big decision, and all of these are coming up just here tomorrow evening. So today I want us to spend a time in prayer around that. Because, you know, in my life, sometimes the difference between a step of faith and a step of foolishness look really similar. They can look very much like the same thing. And the only difference is one is you're following God's lead, and the other is you're following your own lead. And so today we want to make sure that as we take steps of faith as a church, we are doing that, following God's direction and God's guidance for us as a church. So would you bow your heads with me as we spend this time in prayer together? Gracious and loving God, the next 24 hours or so, Lord, and a little more than that, bring some important decisions in the life of our church. And you know, Lord, what those are, and you know what they should be. And I'm not sure we do yet. And so, Lord, my prayer, and I think all of our prayer this morning, is simply this. We want to do what we're supposed to do. We want to do what you want us to do. We want to do what you're leading and guiding us to do. We want to be willing to take a step of faith, even a courageous step of faith, Lord. But Lord, in order to do that, we need to feel confident that we are following your will, your direction, your guidance, and not pursuing our own goals, our own ambitions, our own desires. So help us to surrender those, Lord, to put those low and to lift yours up, so that as we move forward as your church, we might move forward, Lord, in a way that embraces, God, what you want for us, the call you have upon us, the place, Lord, you need us to go, so that you will bless the steps of faith that we take, Lord, to become increasingly and always your church in the center of your will. We pray this, Lord, in your holy name. Amen. Invite our prayer request person to make their way forward this morning, and as they share our prayer concerns and joys with us.
Good morning. Please remember after each comment, joy, or concern to respond with, Lord, hear our prayers. The first is joy from Doris Kiesling, and it's for the church. She's thanking the church for her church gift and also for Diane Wallace for her sweet visit. Lord,
hear our prayers.
The second is from Leah. Her joy is having her college humans home. Lord,
hear our prayers.
And the third joy is from John Cheney. The joy is for the honor wreaths that were passed out, yesterday in so many different cemeteries across the country. We want to give thanks to Jim Koontz especially, but John himself, myself, Art Mize, so many from our church that were involved with this, and all the people that came out there at the time. Just, it's an amazing event. Lord,
hear our prayers. As we continue this morning in our worship service, I just want to invite you to be in prayer. I invite you to be in prayer in your pews, but if you'd like, feel free to come forward and gather with me at the altar this morning as they play a little music and create that transition for us this time. Let's be in an attitude of prayer. Almighty and gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this season again, Lord. The season that brings your love in a very tangible way into our world and into our lives. The gift of a baby. Lord, so many of us have been privileged to be a part of that world. Celebrate a new life, a new person in our midst. What a gift that is, God. We see it, Lord, in you. And it creates, Lord, a whole change in the world. Lord, I know a lot of Christmas is about the commercial aspects of it, God, and yet, even at that, there is underlying it all this story that we all know that touches our hearts and our lives, God. And so, Lord, in kind of a unique way, it's even more real to us. It's a story we know, Lord, but it's a story we live. We're a part of the story. God, be with us as we worship you today, and I just ask, Lord, your blessing upon each and every aspect of our worship service today. I pray, Lord, that in the music we sing or hear, the word that is read and proclaimed, the prayers that are offered, God, find ourselves gathered in your presence, Lord. Just, God, just lift that up to you. Lord, we think of those and just remember in our prayers, Lord, families and individuals who are struggling, Lord. Maybe this season, Lord, is a reminder of a loved one that's been lost. Maybe it's, Lord, the inability to participate in it the way a person would like to. Maybe it's just a sense of being alone when so many are gathered with family. But, Lord, for those who struggle and find it hard, may you wrap them in your arms, God, and let them know that it's still for them and it's still about them, God. Lord, I just pray that you would surround us with your grace today as we come together to worship you. And gracious and loving God, hear our prayers as we offer them to you. And hear our prayer as we come together, Lord, praying as you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Our next hymn this morning is number 217, Away in a Manger. You may remain seated. Bow your heads with me as we celebrate our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, for the generosity and the giving that is a part of this season, may, Lord, we remember that we are but stewards of all that you have given us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in that stewardship, to use, Lord, what is ours to use, and to give, Lord, what is ours to give. And to always remember, Lord, that all of it ultimately belongs to you. So we give you thanks and praise for that which we keep and that which we give away, and for the work of your church and your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen. Our special music this morning is by Sam's Sweet Little Jesus Boy.
Sweet little Jesus boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, didn't know who you were. Didn't know you'd come to save us, Lord, to take our sins away. Our eyes were blind, we couldn't see. We didn't know who showed us how we are trying. Master, you have showed us how, even when you were dying, it just seems like we can't do right. Look how we treated you. But please, sir, forgive us, Lord. We didn't know it was you. Sweet little Jesus boy, born long time ago. Sweet little holy child, and we didn't know who you were.
God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is from Micah 6, 6 through 8, the New International Version. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Christmas, probably more than any other holiday or season that we go through, is the season of giving. And we are all probably in the middle right now of doing all of that Christmas stuff that we do in terms of buying gifts and wrapping gifts and giving gifts and receiving gifts. Probably every one of you have some kind of event on your calendar where with this family or that part of the family or whoever it might be, you are going to be exchanging some kind of Christmas gifts with one another. And in our household for a long time, Teresa does like 90% of that. She does the gift buying. She does most of the gift wrapping. Our grandson Josh has been a big help this year. Occasionally, I get drug into that. But Teresa really does. That's the reason every place we go, Teresa is always looking to buy the next Christmas gift. You know, she's always in mind for that. And it's just wonderful. She does all of that in terms of our home and our family. And you know, and it's just a really, really big part of the year, really big part of the season. And it's hard to really track down where the tradition actually starts. I mean, we go all the way back to the Christmas story and the wise men bringing their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But, you know, the way we give gifts are not necessarily true all over the world. And so it's just kind of a difficult tradition that we have in terms of that. But for a moment this morning, humor me a little bit. I want you to think about your childhood. And I'd like for you to think about what were some really special gifts that you received as a child? What were some neat things that you got as a child? As a child, I was a tractor person. And this was a gift that I got, I don't know, it's about 60 years old, I think. I think this little tractor is about 60 years old. Yeah, I know you have a lot bigger collection than I do. It's a little beat up. Boy, the poor muffler is about ready to fall off the guy. The steering wheel, all the paint's gone. And that's because I steered it when I played with it. And this was a favorite of mine. It's an International Farmall 806. And So when I would crawl along, and I had all kinds of stuff I hooked to it. I had plows and discs and drills. I have a pull-type combine. I have all that kind of stuff that went along with it. And they've just kind of stayed in boxes over the years, and I never really got them out very much. But, yeah, this guy, I wish I had a dollar for every hour I crawled along on the floor playing with this little guy. And it's still a neat part of my life. This was the last one I ever bought. I was a little older, and moving them around for 50 years hasn't been friendly to him, so the muffler and the air cleaner are gone off of this one. But it's a John Deere 5020, which was about the largest farm tractor you could buy when that was out there and on the market, and I bought that at Springfield Fair and State Fair, and that and a wing disc to go along with it. So, what are some really cool gifts that you got as a kid? What made them special? What made them cool? What made them those gifts that you remember? I remember a special gift I got kind of in the middle of all of this tractor collecting stuff. And go ahead and put that up on the screen. This was a gift I got one year. It was a Johnny Express. And you can see it has a wired remote control on it. So I would walk along with it. You go forward and backward. You could turn it left and right. And I went through the batteries like crazy with that thing. But one of the interesting things, you can see it has a flatbed trailer. So I would load my tractors on there. Somewhere I found a little bit of chain, real tiny chain, and some springs. And so I would put my tractors on there. I would chain them onto it like they were real, you know. And then I'd use those little springs like you would chain tighteners, you know. And I would drive that around the house, hauling equipment around to the various places. So I was picking up and dropping off farm equipment. So what made that special? You know, I was thinking about that. One of the things was I just wanted it, you know. And I wanted those collections, and they were a part of Christmases and birthdays and all that kind of stuff, getting that thing. But using them allowed me to live out a fantasy, really. Because as a child, I dreamed of farming. I dreamed of operating those kind of things. And so when I was playing with that, I was kind of living out my adult dream. That's what I wanted to grow up and be. I wanted to grow up and be a person who operated equipment like that and who had those kind of options. And what was interesting, while I didn't grow up and be, you know, I never played church as a kid. Okay? So this gig came totally out of nowhere for me. But through junior high and high school, I did work for farmers, and I spent a ton of hours on a 656 International tractor that looked a lot like that one. So in a way, that kind of became a part of my world and a part of my life for at least a season anyway in regard to that. So I think that a lot of times what makes a gift special, it transports us into a world that we long for or that we dream about or that we want to be a part of that. The little boy or girl who plays with a doll dreams of being a mom or dad someday. A child that plays house dreams of having their own home. A young person who plays school probably dreams of being a teacher someday and having those things. And so that becomes a part of their world and a part of their life. And a lot of times that changes over time, but a lot of times it doesn't either. So it's amazing how many teachers I talked to over the years who said, yeah, I wanted to do this all my life. When I was a kid, all I ever wanted to do was play school, you know? Or however that happens to work out and be in our world and in our lives. And it becomes a part of this type of a season. You know, some people are real easy to buy gifts for. The real easy ones, they tell you, I want this. That's easy, okay? If it's possible. You know, every once in a while they'll say, I want this, and just like, yeah, you're not going to get that. So let's go to plan B here. But the others are people who are collectors. Oh, it's so easy to buy for collectors because you just buy them. You know, you have somebody who's got that little village of all the little houses at Christmas. Just buy them another house or another village or another building to go along with it. You know, it's just wonderful. You can do that. Of course, we have sports fans in our family, so we buy for the Cubs. We buy not too much for the Cardinals. but the Chicago Bears, we have Packer fans, and Wisconsin Badgers, the Salukis, you know, so we, you know, all that kind of stuff is a part of it. But, you know, every once in a while you run across that person that's like impossible to buy for. I mean, they don't want anything. You say, what do you want? I don't know. Just anything's fine. You know, they don't want anything. They don't really need anything either. So it's not like I'm going to get you what you need. And so, you know, and they don't collect, you know, it's just really, really difficult. You know, it's that question. What do you get for the person who has everything? You know, what do you get for the person who has everything? During this season, as I've been looking at Christmas songs, last week I talked about how many of them ask a question. And last week the question was, who's this baby? And did you understand that? That was really the element, Sam, of Sweet Little Jesus Boy, you know. We didn't know who you were. We didn't know it was you. And how still we ask the question, who is Jesus and can that be an important part of my life? Today the question is, what do you give to the God who has everything? You know, really. You know, in this season of the year, and so many of the carols ask that question. It's like the wise men came with their gifts, which were gifts they were led to bring and to give. And they're very symbolic. A number of years ago, my older daughter, Angie, wrote a Bible study on the wise men's gifts, a great study about looking into those and why the symbols that all of those gifts are as you look at the life and ministry of Jesus. But then a lot of them are just asking that question of what can I do in the moment? What can I present in the moment? I love the song, The Little Drummer Boy. And you know, they ask, can I play for him? I played my drum for him. I played my best for him. And in response to that, Mary smiles. And he offers what he has in the moment. Last week, Sam and her friend did that amazing rendition of In the Bleak Midwinter. And the last chorus of that, our hymnal doesn't have all the verses, but in the last verse of that, what can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet, what I can, I give him. Give my heart. You know, you say, and we say, what do you give to the God who has everything? But the reality is, God doesn't have everything. Sure, God created the universe, so that's part of what the definition of God is, to speak things into existence out of nothing. That's what God has done, the universe that we live in, all that we are, all that we have, the world that we live in. I always say, everything that belongs to you, you get to take with you when you die. All the rest of it, you just borrowed while you're here. And so it really is God's. And yet, the thing that God wants more than anything else, God does not have. And that is the answer to the song, In the Bleak Midwinter. And that's our lives, our hearts. You see, in some ways, Christmas is so easy to understand in that regard because what God wants is what we all want. What do we want? We want to be loved. We want to believe in the life of someone we're special. We want to be surrounded by people that we can love and that we can be loved by. And that is true with God as well. This is not a new question, and it's not really even a Christmas question. It was the question that people asked throughout the centuries as they related to God. It's here in Micah 6:6-8. The prophet asks the question, with what shall I come before the Lord? What can I possibly have that I can give to God? And in the end of it, God responds. What does the Lord require of you? But to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. God doesn't want a gift. God doesn't want a possession. God wants an invitation. That's all God wants. An invitation. To live here. In your heart. In your life. To be a part of your life. To be a part of your world. God wants what we all want. God wants to know that God is loved by you. And that God is a special part of your world, a special part of your life. That you and God have this relationship that is unique and real. It's different. Because it's not the same thing as saying, oh, I know there is a God. That's like saying, I know there are famous people in the world. We all know famous people in the world. They don't know you. And you don't live in relationship with them. And so God doesn't want that. God doesn't want you just simply to say, well, I know there's a God. God wants to live in an intimate relationship with you. And you say, I know there is a God because I know that God. Because that God lives in me and is part of me. So if you look at this Christmas and you're asking yourself, what do you give to the Creator of the universe? What do you offer to the baby in the manger? It's not a check out of your checkbook. It's not a draw on your account. It's the one thing that you can give God that God will not take from you. And God does not demand of you. It's the giving of your heart. It's the giving of your life. Maybe you've never prayed it. Maybe it's been a long time since you've prayed it. But my prayer for you is in this Christmas season, you will re-remember and you will make sure that you know, God, I want you to live here in me. I want you to be a part of my world and a part of my life every day. I want to live my life in response to the grace and the love that I feel from you. I want to live my life focused on you. I want you to show me how I can love you. Because I know how much you love me. This Christmas season, that's what God wants more than anything else. Is to be remembered, to be loved, and because God is God, to be worshipped, to be a part of your world and a part of your life, to give God what God wants as the gift this Christmas. Would you pray with me? Almighty and gracious God, be with us this day. Help us, Lord God, to find our presence and our place in you. Help us, Lord, to worship you. Lord, help us to extend to you this day the joy of knowing you as our God, of living in relationship with you. So, Lord, we extend the invitation. Come into our hearts, come into our lives. Be one with us, that we might be one with you. In your name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Angels from the Realms of Glory. I invite us to stand as we are able to sing verses 1 and 2. Angels from the Realms of Glory. Thank you. God, send us into the world as those who know you, as those who love you, as those who live with you every day. May we be light in a world of darkness, helping others to see the relationship that you offer us all. In your name we pray. Amen. Folks, have a great week this week.